We come together this morning then to wait upon and to worship our God. Let us do so with the engagement of heart and soul by the singing of Psalm 23. The very familiar words to us all. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make within the paths of righteousness, even for his own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's dark vale, yet will I fear none ill, for thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. My table thou hast furnished in presence of my foes. My head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be. Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd.
Yeah.
Let us now come before the Lord in prayer. Let us all pray. Lord our God, there is no greater delight given unto the redeemed upon this stage of time than to be gathered as we do here this morning to worship and to praise thy name. And so we ask, Lord, for the guidance and prompting of thy Spirit to recruit from our memories all the good things and the mercies we've enjoyed and experienced from thine hand in thy grace, so that we might be able, as the psalmist of old, O thou my soul, bless God the Lord and all that in me is. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst prompt us, guide us and lead us, not only by gathering together the decoration of our life from thy grace, but Lord, also we pray for thy protection round about us from the enemy who would seek to spoil and to mar these very privileges given to the redeemed upon the earth. We gather here, we do so out of habit and routine. But Lord, we pray indeed that today would be different from all others, that these ordinary things might be broken, and that we might have something new and altogether different and refreshing as the experience of our soul, as we wait upon thee now and here. Lord, thou art the creator of all things. Thine handiwork and thy footprint is evident round about us day after day. We thank thee, Lord, for the way in which thou art the one who superintends all of the affairs of providence as well as of creation. And we can rest assured of thy perfect wisdom in dealing with us as and when it is appropriate. For oftentimes in our own lives we may judge, Lord, now is the time to intervene. But we thank thee, O Lord, that so often thou dost intervene in an altogether different time and different way. And with the gift of reflection we look back and we see indeed the perfection of thy dealings with thy people. We thank thee, Lord, also for the way in which thou art our Saviour and our Redeemer. And as we come before thee, we come before a thrice holy God. We come and join our voices with the angels in thy presence who praise thy name. We ask of thee, O Lord, that we might indeed confess and acknowledge before thee those things which we know and which are offensive to thee, that we might invoke and seek the cleansing and the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ upon all that we are and all that we do, even in the very highest of privilege given to us now of worshipping thy name. Even in these privileges, we still know sin accompanies. And so our argument, our plea, the one argument we would deploy before thee, Lord, look down upon us, not as we stand different and apart in our own standing, but Lord, look down upon us covered with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, clinging hard and fast to that cross on which our sins were dealt with, and asking that for his sake thou wouldst be pleased to come amongst us, to enrich us, to speak with us and deal with us. We may have come as families and friends together here, but now we are alone with thee. Speak through thy word. Deal with our soul. And may we realize it is not the voice of man that we may hear, but the voice of Almighty God from heaven. Remember our families, our loved ones, those in the bond and circle of blood. We pray that where they might be, near or far, that they may know something of the intrusion of these very spiritual things that we count precious to ourselves. Strangers though they be, yet we pray, Lord, for thy grace and thy power at operation in their lives, to bring them to the same level ground before the cross, trusting in Jesus Christ alone. And that very plea that we have for ourselves and our community is the same plea we have for our nation and our people. We do what is right in our own eyes. We think that we possess the fountain of wisdom to ourselves. And all the while and every day there is that conclusion drawn, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And so we pray, Lord, thy blessing upon those in leadership over us who know thee and who fear thee, that they might do so according to the counsels of thy word. Thy word is given for the good of our society, if only people were to practice it as they ought. And we ask, O Lord, that thou wouldst protect those in the public gaze and in public leadership. For there is also that danger of the enemy trying to go for the leaders and the chief, so that all of the followers might be distracted and scattered. We need thee, O Lord, in so many different areas. But we bless thee for the multicolored wisdom of thy grace, the way in which it has a facet for every eventuality of life. So we hope in thee now. For those who are concerned, who are anxious, those who have anxieties pressing upon them because of circumstances in their life or their family circle, their circumstances because of health, job, whatever it might be, we have the counsel of thy word to bring all our cares and concerns to thee. So, Lord, we do so, asking that thou wouldst remember one and all here this day as we wait upon thee with expectation and with hope. Hear us, our Lord, and accept our prayers and our prayers. Answer us above the measure of our asking. For our only argument, our only plea, is the Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Saviour, for his sake. Amen. We continue our worship, coming this time to the words again familiar to us of Psalm 32. Psalm 32, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt from trouble keep me free. Thou with songs of deliverance about shall compass me. And then these words, particularly for our meditation this morning. I will instruct thee, and thee teach the way that thou shalt go. And with mine eye upon thee set, I will direction show. Then be not like the horse or mule, who do not understand, whose mouth, lest they come near to thee, a bridle must command. And to the man that wicked is, his sorrows shall abound. But him that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass round. Ye righteous in the Lord, be glad. In him do ye rejoice. All ye that upright are in heart, for joy lift up your voice. Psalm 32, 7 through 11. Thou art my hiding place. Our reading this morning is from the Old Testament in the book of Joshua and chapter 14. And I want somebody to take up the experience of this man Caleb. And we just remind ourselves that Caleb along with Joshua were the two that were out to spy out the land. And they were the only two that brought back a report that was to encourage them to go and possess it. Nobody believed it. And for 38 years, Caleb wandered with the people until there was a line of graves in the sand of the wilderness, until he and Joshua came to inherit God's promise. And he said, "Give me this mountain." The expression of faith on this man's part, going with God's people where they wandered, trusting for 38 years. The line between coming out of Egypt and going into the land of promise could have been done a straight line in 11 days. But it took them 38 years to cover it. Let's read and hear then Joshua chapter 14 and the experience of this man Caleb. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of two tribes and the half tribe on the other side of Jordan, but unto the Levites he gave no inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save or except cities to dwell in, with the suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. And even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou hearest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims. And the land had rest from war. Amen. And we look to the Lord for his blessing on that reading of his own holy and inspired word. We continue our praise, this time coming to the words of Psalm 107. Psalm 107, from the beginning, the summons that comes to us constantly. Praise God. Why? For he is good. For still his mercies lasting be. Let God's redeemed say so, whom he from the enemy's hand did free, and gathered them out of the lands, from north, south, east, and west. They strayed in desert's pathless way, no city found to rest. For thirst and hunger, in them faints their soul. When straits them press, they cry unto the Lord, and he them frees from their distress. Them also in a way to walk that right is, he did guide. That they might to a city go wherein they might abide. Oh, that men to the Lord would give praise for his goodness then, for his works of wonder done unto the sons of men. As we sing these words, hold on to them as we come to meditate upon a scripture passage afterwards. Praise God, for he is good.
Praise God, for he is good.
For our meditation this morning, would you come with me again to the Old Testament, but to the book of Numbers and chapter 10 of that book. Numbers chapter 10, and we're going to break in to read a few verses from verse 29. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 29. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for God hath spoken good concerning Israel. But Hobab said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. And Moses said, Leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to camp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yes, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. And they departed from the mount of the Lord. Are you coming? Or are you staying? Let that question hang in the air for the next time of our service this morning. We've been vacant for over 3 years. In these 3 years, many things have taken place. You've heard a whole variety of preachers, different characters, personalities and styles, different illustrations and experiences. But all of these preachers focused on one thing, the same theme of the gospel, Christ and Him crucified. It is an exclusive claim, but it is also an effective claim given to us in Scripture. There is no other name under the vault of heaven whereby we must be saved. But there is one vital quality required of both you and I together. Faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. And He bestows the gift of peace and pardon and purpose in life. So for these 3 years, perhaps there has been a sermon just like this. And you have had a fresh insight into a familiar passage. I never read it like that before. I never saw that before. For others of you, that day, the preacher took you by the hand, and he led you into a very familiar but personal experience of long ago. He opened up a page in the diary of your life. Something happened, known only to you, but it still lingers with you right until today. It was a time when you were sensitive to gospel truth. It was a time when the gospel meant something to you. And the realm of heaven and the realm of eternity was real to you. And you were alone there before God, away back then. The destination of your soul was at risk. Issues of importance were coming to your mind, and time and sense went by the board. You were confronted with the stark reality of a sinner before a holy God. And nothing you could say and nothing you could do would make you acceptable before Him. And what mattered on that occasion, as on this occasion, as on every occasion, it's not what man says. It's what God says. So how did you respond? Going back over these 3 years of vacancy with all these preachers, how did you respond back then? The voice of man is silent now, but the insistent voice of God speaks to you still. And God is speaking to you alone and apart. Put your name into this text. We are journeying to the place which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, for the Lord has spoken good. concerning Israel. Your personal circumstances, yes, they might have changed. There might have been surprising or unexpected provinces breaking into your life. Old age with its consequences have caught up with you and with me. Serious illness has become a companion in your sunset days. Maybe even death has broken into the family circle. These are but a few experiences of the past 3 years. But I want to recruit whatever that experience might be that's now awakened in your mind and memory. I want to recruit that message stuck in your soul to this moment. I want to reach down through the years to all of these memorabilia and ask that question: are you coming or are you staying? Let's get it right down to ourselves as a congregation. All the procedures have been completed as far as presbytery and such like are being concerned. All the plans are now in place. The manse has been attended to. Gardens have been dealt with. The building here has been dealt with as well. Everything is now ready. 3 weeks' time, there's going to be a new work beginning. About to start. Very well. Let this text come in these circumstances to you again. Are you coming with us? Or are you staying where you are? The Lord had redeemed his people out of Egypt after 200 years in that land. The Lord had raised Moses as the leader, 80 years of preparation for 40 years of leadership. They had come out, going through the details and the time scale of Numbers, the first few chapters of this. It took them 3 months to get to Sinai. And there they spent 21 months being instructed by God. So when it came to 2 years and the first month, that's when we go to this book of Numbers chapter 10. They had seen, oh yes, great deliverances by God bringing them out of Egypt. And so we come at the very beginning of chapter 10, when they deliberately remind themselves and establish again the communion, the celebration of what God had done. When we come to chapter 10, verse 11, we find that the cloud is moving on, it's moved from the camp. We find now that God is saying to them, it's time to move on. Right at the very beginning of Numbers chapter 1, when all of this was now beginning to unfold, we find that they took a census. And a census was only taken in the land when it was a crucial or decisive moment. And that's what it was, here and now. They're going into a new work, a new phase, and a new experience of God's blessing. Just the same way, weeks before this, the communion roll of this congregation was consulted in exactly the same way. Which side of the line were you on? Was your name taken in that census, in that communion roll? Are you coming? Or are you staying? Enough listening to instruction to preachers for 3 years. Enough sitting there underneath the Mount Sinai. God is speaking. He says, now we're traveling. Listening is over. Set out on the journey that God has set for them. And as Moses looked round the camp that day, he would see an empty space. This was a family, and that was a family, and this was a family. And he came to one camp. And there was Hobab. Still there. And so we have Moses inviting him, come and join with us. They needed him. He knew the area. He was eyes to them. And so he invites them to join with him. That's the application here this morning. Are you coming or are you staying? So what I want to do is to break down what we want to say into a simple skeleton. First of all, I want us to look at the identity of these people. I want us then to listen to the invitation that was given. And then thirdly, the incentive that Moses gave for Hobab to join with them. The identity then of these people. Who are they? Who are we? Simple answer to the question. We are the people of God. God's people are what? They are a redeemed people. Exodus 6 verse 6. God with a mighty hand stretched forth his hand and he redeemed them, displaying the power and might of God in doing this for them. Not by their own strength did they come out. It was underneath the covering of the blood of the Lamb. The Passover Lamb. And death went through that land of Egypt. And the only way there was protection against his visitation to any house and family circle was by the protection of the blood upon the door and the lintel. That house and only that house was safe. Later on, when God's people went out, Pharaoh decided to chase after them. And all the power and the might of his chariots and horsemen could not prevail against the purpose and intentions of God. The very best of Egypt was lost. Today, we might be but a small congregation, but we are, as they were, the redeemed people of God. We are underneath the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ. He satisfied the justice of God. And when God's hand is laid upon the sword to bring it out to judge his people, the restraining hand of mercy is laid upon it as it might apply to each one of his people. God's people are redeemed people, precious to God. Remember, simply go back to Isaiah 43 verses 1 and 2. There God is speaking about his people. At the very end of verse 2, I think it is, it says, you are mine. And that's an astonishing and an amazing statement from heaven. You are my people, redeemed by the blood of my son. So yes, we, simply put, we are a redeemed people. But more than that, we are a travelling people. We are going somewhere, not just anywhere, but we're going out on a specific journey to a prepared place to meet and to be with the presence of the Lord. As I said, it would only take 11 days to journey in a direct line from one place to the other, but it took them 38 years. We can see that applying to ourselves. How far back can you go to that time when the Lord broke into your life and you came to know him? But you're still traveling on this earth. You're still walking in these ways. You're waiting. And waiting. And still waiting. We do not have any rest, satisfaction or joy in this world. We're not content with what others get. The very best this world offers us leaves us empty still. because this Christian soul has been touched by the hand of God. And we know what it is to meet God, trusting in Jesus Christ, his Son. And he has created an appetite, a longing and a desire that only God himself can satisfy. And we're intolerant of anything else. We've tasted of the Lord, and we're now traveling with him. Hebrews tells us what? We are strangers and we are pilgrims here. We're on a journey to Emmanuel's land to be with the Lord forevermore. We're a redeemed people. We're a traveling people. Remember what it says, the hymn, we're only trusting in Jesus Christ, yes. My hope, your hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's the only thing we need to rely on. And it gives to us a distant look in our face and a definite joy in our words. As we look to the distant horizon and the place the Lord has prepared for his people. Yes, redeemed. Yes, traveling. Thirdly, we're a trusting people. We haven't seen the land. They hadn't seen the land. Nobody had been there. Yes, in a measure, Caleb and Joshua had gone into it. They saw his riches, and they could come back with some degree of understanding and pictures to tell the people of what that land was like. But they also spoke about the troubles and the problems along the way. Obstacles and barriers to overcome. But none of these things deterred them. They only stimulated their desire to be there where the Lord had promised to be with his people and enjoy the provision the Lord had made. We read there, and I deliberately went to it to read of Caleb. And the way in which the Lord said, wherever you've stood with your footprint, that's what's going to be yours. And he had to wait 38 years for it. And all the while he was trusting. And at the end of 38 years, that same strength of faith is evident. As I was then, so I am now. Give me this mountain. And that simply testifies to everything that was true about these people. They were a trusting people. Trusting in the land of the Lord. Eye has not seen, 1 Corinthians tells us, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard. Nobody has told us of this land that God has prepared for his people. But we're going there. And we're trusting in what the Lord has said and what the Lord will do for us. But especially we're trusting that there we will meet with the Lord. And it's a land. And it's a place where there's no rust. And there's no moth. And there's no thief. And these are the things that spoil life as we know it here. But there will be nothing there to spoil us then. And it's all brought home to us in a very remarkable image, where we're told that God will wipe away every tear. Whatever it is that causes a tear or sorrow in the heart of us here and now, God will remove it when he gathers us there and then. We are a dependent people, a trusting people, a redeemed people, a traveling people. We don't have any reserves of our own. We trust in the Lord alone. We're fighting people. We're fighting against the enemy round about us, but also within ourselves. But we're never ever in doubt. Never ever in doubt about the outcome of that conflict. For the Lord is with us. We've got to fight against old habits, lifestyle. But we trust and rely on the Lord for it all. At the very end, we've spoken about this before. At the very end, when the land was being divided up, and Joshua was sending them all their own ways, Joshua was thinking, well, I've got to give them something that will stick with them. We all know where the last words that somebody says are memorable, and we hold on to them and we remember them. Joshua was thinking, what can I say to them? All these tribes as they go their way. Joshua 23 verse 14. Joshua says, now I'm going the way of all men. I'm going to die. But I want you to remember this. Not one promise. Not one promise that God has given to us as a people and a nation. Not once have that been frustrated or left to the side. The illustration we've used in the past is of a crumb falling off the edge of the table. That's the way in which it's spoken. Not one crumb of what God has said will be left unfulfilled. That's what he says about them and about us. So the invitation and the question hanging in the air comes again to you. Are you coming with us? Or are you staying? The identity of the people. But secondly, I want us to move on more briefly to the other 2 points. Deliberately, I wanted to linger on that one. Secondly, I wanted to think about the invitation that was given. Everything was got ready. They were packed up. They were ready to go. Gathering the goods. Looking around. As we said, one campsite was not being attended to. One group was not moving on. And so we have Moses deliberately going out of his way. And 3 simple thoughts I want to set about this invitation. First of all, he spoke passionately. He was, after all, dealing with a friend, but a member of his own family. It was his brother-in-law he was speaking to. Somebody who'd helped them in the past. But now it's coming to a parting of the ways. Leave us not. Don't let this moment pass. Instead, he used the circumstances of their life and their journey and their memorabilia. He's used it all to bring this invitation passionately before Hobab. For many months you've been with us. You have seen the same things as we've seen. You've heard the same sermons from all these visiting preachers. You've shared all these experiences. You, me, together, we've been there, we've seen them. Come, join with us. We know the gospel truth. It's been shared amongst us at many a service. Times we've been very conscious of God's presence with us, speaking to our soul. And something of what he has said lingers with us still. And so it comes to a decisive moment. Let me put it even more bluntly and plainly like this. You've got the table spread for a communion. And on the table there's the cup and the bread. And there's the invitation for for Christian believers to come and to participate at that table. Where will you be when that division is made? Where will you be? Are you coming? or I stay. A decisive moment for us then. A decisive moment here for Hope. Passionate play. But the second thing I say, not just passion, but also persuasion. See what he says in verse 29. We are journeying to the place the Lord will give us. Come with us, and we will do thee good, for God has spoken good concerning Israel. You've been eyes to us. And then in verse 32, it shall be if thou go with us, it shall be that what the goodness of the Lord shall do to us, the same will we do to thee. There's persuasion. Moses is not content just simply, well, he's spoken his mind, I might as well just go back. Might as well just go and attend to all the others. Hope I've spoken, nothing else needs to be said. No. He didn't walk away and leave it like that. He simply turned again to him and says, look, listen to me. This is what you've been to us. This is what we need for you. There was passion, speaking, warmth, words, appealing to his mind and to his heart. An abundance of what God had done and will do for his people was there, displayed and played out before Hobab. Come on, Hobab, look at it. Think of it for a moment. The persuasion. All these good things. And thirdly, the persistence. Yes, he could indeed have walked away. He could have walked away and says, well, he's spoken. Nothing remains to be said. But Moses was not deterred. He just simply went back again and spoke to Hobab. How many times, even just in these 3 years you've been vacant, how many times has God been speaking to you? And you're still sitting there. And God has come back a second time with another preacher and spoken again to you. And you're still sitting there. And God has sent another different preacher once again to you. The persistence of God dealing with us. The Lord God has not given up. We can all just appealing to the testimony of a Christian this morning. What would it have been when God broke into my life or into yours? If he just simply says, that's it. Leave you alone. Get on with it. But that's not what God has done. He did not turn away. We can trace out God's grace in dealing with us in his patience and in his persistence in the face of our behavior and provocations. What a variety of ways the Lord has spoken to us, dealt with us. He will not let us go. And perhaps this morning, he is speaking yet again, and he is saying the question that's hanging in the air. Are you coming? Or are you staying? Yes, the identity of the people. Yes, the invitation that was given. Thirdly, the incentive that was placed before him. What were the arguments deployed by Moses to attract Hobab to join? He simply says, and I want to unpack this simple word, God has spoken good. And if you come with us, we will do you good. What can we say about that simple word? Well, God has spoken good for us. If we join with God's people, we will be in good company. We're joining. Look back over the history of biblical characters. Think of David. how varied his experience was, up and down. Think of all the different things he had been through. Go back to the Psalms and read there the things that joyed him and the things that saddened him. But he's there in the company of God's people. You think of Paul and the great teaching that he gave to the church in the New Testament. And there is Paul. Oh, he was violently against God's people and he put them in prison and he led them. And Paul's there teaching. Good company. Think of John, the disciple of love. Think of Peter, who spoke before he thought. Through much tears, but he kept going. Think of Daniel in the lion's den and the sacrifice that was called upon from him. Think, just go back to the city of Jericho and the woman on the wall, the outsider. Think of Rahab. She's in this company too. The incentive given, the good company we'll be joining. Not only that, but not only the company, but think of the good teaching that we will receive. 21 months they were there by Sinai. 21 months taught by God. And when we speak with and when we join the Christians today, we share teaching, we share experiences. Is it Habakkuk, I think, that says that God's word is written in red in big letters so that you may read it when you run. Simply meaning it's easy to understand it or take it to yourself. The covenant, the great arrangement that God has put in place, unpacked, made clear to us step by step. Taken to the level ground round the cross where nobody is at handicap and nobody has an advantage. Time after time, God's people and God's teaching, focusing back, no matter what preacher you had in this pulpit for 3 years, the same message was always there, focusing time after time on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He spreads a table at a communion time with food for our soul. We're taken as we were reading, as we were singing in Psalm 23. He takes us by still waters and in green pastures. When we wait upon the Lord, we're told he strengthens our soul. All of the good things unpacked for us. But especially the best of all, we will be with the Lord himself. We will be there with the Lord. He, we are told again, reminding ourselves, Isaiah 43, you are mine. I will be with you and you are my people. Even might be a small group and gathering as we are. But the words of prayer and the worship of praise are a pleasant aroma and accepted by God. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 66, we're told about God in the heavens. And the picture is given to us and we can fill it out of the might and the majesty of God. And the eye of God roams over all the face of the earth. And he's looking for one kind of person alone. He's looking for the person who fears the Lord. That's the kind of person the eye of God fixes on and the delight of God comes to. He delights to be there with that kind of person. And the most amazing thing, perhaps we don't go back to it as we ought. Perhaps we don't understand it as we should. But the prophecy of Zephaniah, chapter 3 and verse 17. We're told an amazing thing in the verse. A silence comes upon all creation. and you hear singing. And God is singing over all his people. That's the kind of goodness for the company we join. Hobab then walked around the camp. He saw the atmosphere and the attitude of all these people. He saw the fire, he saw the cloud. He heard the trumpets, he heard all the experience and testimony. How excited they were that they were moving on. Truly God was there with his people. And he was invited to join with them. And I suppose every one of us, we're all asking the question from the very beginning. Yes, minister, but did he go? Did he go? Verse 33 gives us that answer. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey. And when you go into the book of Judges, chapter 4, we're told about his family also were allocated the ground and the land. The Kenites dwelt there. He heard the invitation and he went with them. So therefore, a new work is to start. We've heard the gospel. We've heard that invitation many, many times. What are we going to do today with this decisive moment? Let the voice of man recede into the background. Now, right now, you and I and we together, we are dealing alone with the Lord about our soul. And the question I posed at the very beginning, left hanging in the air through the sermon, comes back as the sermon now closes. What are we saying? Come now with us. The question is posed. God has spoken good concerning Israel. Are you coming? Or are you staying? Let us pray. Gracious Lord and God, thy word comes with all the power and the anointing of heaven upon our soul. We pray, our Lord, that thou wouldst bring it home to us in personal application. And even as we part, separate, and go our separate ways, and the voice of man becomes a distant memory, Lord, our prayer is that something that has been said might lodge and remain and have an effect spiritually upon us all. We ask it, Lord, in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, thy Son. Amen. We're closing this morning by singing in Psalm 34. And immediately you can see the sentiment of that psalm relating to the sermon we've just had. Psalm 34 and verse 8. O taste and see that God is good. Who trusts in him is blessed. Fear God, his saints. None that him fear shall be with want oppressed. The lion's young may hungry be, and they may lack their food. But they that truly seek the Lord shall not lack any good. O children, hither do ye come, and unto me give ear. I shall you teach to understand how ye the Lord should fear. What man is he that life desires? To see good would live long. Thy lips refrain from speaking guile, and from ill words thy tongue. Psalm 34 at verse 8, O taste and see that God is good.
God is good, who shall say?
And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and remain with you now and forevermore.